Stephen Hawking once said, "The idea that we are alone in the universe is completely implausible and arrogant. Look at the number of planets and stars that exist. It's unlikely that we are the only form of evolved life. It is unlikely, but not impossible. History abounds with tales of beings from other worlds visiting our planet, and people from all walks of life claim to have had close encounters with aliens. Some accounts are hard to believe, and some are hard to debunk." On November 5, 1975, Travis Walton was in high spirits as he finished his shift for the day. Travis worked as a logger in the White Mountains of Snowflake, Arizona. He took great pride in being a regular blue-collar guy with a tough job. Travis was in a truck with five other loggers when his life changed forever. He and his coworkers saw a glimmer of light dancing through the trees. The driver brought the truck to a grinding halt because he believed it was a forest fire. It wasn't. It was something quite different. It was a UFO. In his own words, Travis described it as a defined metallic disc outlined against the sky. He called it fantastic and grand. Travis explained that everyone felt they were witnessing something beautiful and perfect. Travis felt like a deer caught in the headlights. He opened the car door and walked towards the UFO in a daze. His coworkers yelled at him to return to the safety of the car. Travis tried to run, but he never made it. He says a powerful force hit him and threw him like a puppet into the air. His coworkers said it was like watching someone step on a landmine. Others said they saw a bright blue beam hit Travis. Thinking Travis was dead, his coworkers left the scene to get help. Within hours, a huge search party was trawling the forest for Travis. They looked high and low but could not find him. He had disappeared without a trace. 5 days later, Travis reappeared. He looked shell-shocked and a shadow of his former self, but he was alive. His account of what had happened beggared belief. Travis said when he awoke, he was on a spaceship surrounded by small creatures. At first, he thought they were doctors, but then realized they were aliens. This realization sent him mad with panic. He admits he flipped and lashed out at the creature nearest to him. Travis then backed into a shelf containing what looked like medical instruments. He grabbed one of them and started threatening the aliens with it. Their response was to stop and to stare. Travis said he couldn't tolerate that stare. Years later, he would see that same stare in his nightmares again and again. Travis managed to escape into another room. Inside was a human-like figure wearing what resembled a space helmet. A few seconds later, Travis passed out. When Travis next opened his eyes, he was lying on the roadside. He was 15 miles from the spot where he went missing. Travis's tale was scrutinized under the spotlight of the world's media. Cynics said Travis and his family were into UFO stories before his alleged abduction. They also used his family's lack of worry during his absence to say it was a hoax. Over 40 years later, Travis still stands by his story. He has passed five separate lie detector tests to prove it's true. Critics say such tests can be duped. They also point to some lie detector tests he has failed. The other five loggers in the truck continue to back up Travis's claims. They have also passed lie detector tests. Travis's buddy, Ken Peterson, remains haunted by that day. He believes the aliens attempted to contact them for a reason. He thinks by running away, he blew his chance. He sometimes camps on the site of Travis's abduction and wistfully hopes that one day the aliens will return for him. Alien abduction stories are easy to come by in some circles, but this wasn't always the case. Over 50 years ago, they were unheard of. A down-to-earth couple named Barney and Betty Hill would change all that. It was a cloudless and starry September night in 1961. Mr. and Mrs. Hill were driving home on a rural highway to their home in New Hampshire in the early hours of the morning. Betty looked out the window and saw a bright object following them. Barney stopped the car and checked the object out with a pair of binoculars. He saw a spacecraft with at least half a dozen living beings looking straight at him. Terrified, he ran back to the car and sped into the night. The couple then heard a series of loud beeps before passing out. When they awoke, they were 35 miles down the highway with no memory of how they got there. A few days later, Betty began having nightmares. 2 years later, a visit to the psychiatrist would reveal what happened that night. Under hypnosis, Betty and Barney said short gray aliens with big bug eyes abducted them. The aliens took them aboard their spaceship and stuck them with needles. The psychiatrist didn't buy the story, but believed the Hills thought it was true. The Hills lived exhausting lives. The pressures of demanding jobs and long daily commutes always take their toll. As a biracial couple in 1960s America, the Hills also faced prejudice and stress. Psychiatrists who have studied their case claim sleep deprivation and stress were the cause of the Hills' experiences. Betty was also an avid fan of science fiction and a keen believer in UFOs before the incident. Some say her story was what started it all. Their account became a movie broadcast on TV in 1975. Perhaps not coincidentally, Travis Walton's abduction happened not long after this movie aired. In the following 2 years, the number of reported alien abductions soared. Are UFOs and aliens real, or are they the product of an evolving folklore? The U.S. government has recently spent $22 million attempting to answer that question. In 2007, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, AATIP, was created. The project investigated numerous accounts of unusual aircraft traveling at unusual speeds. It also researched encounters between UFOs and American military pilots. The government slashed the program's funding in 2012, but Luis Elizondo, the former head of the program, claims the program continued without government funding. Elizondo continued working from his Pentagon office until his resignation in October 2017. He left to protest against what he believed was excessive secrecy. In his resignation letter, he wrote, "Why aren't we spending more time and effort on this issue? We have studied phenomena which did not seem to originate from any country. That is not something any government or institution should classify. It should not be kept secret from the people." Commander David Frevoort's experiences were one of the AATIP's most documented cases. David's 18 years of experience in the Air Force could not prepare him for what he experienced one day in 2004. On a routine training mission, David encountered a 40-foot-long, white, tic-tac-shaped object. It was hovering just above the Pacific Ocean. He said it had no visible exhaust or propulsion. David took his plane down to investigate further. The pilot was stunned to see the UFO go from a completely still hover to climbing 12,000 feet in the blink of an eye. He claims it then accelerated away at supersonic speed. He says it disappeared like a bullet from a gun. David believes the aircraft was not of this world. He claims we do not have the technology to travel at that velocity. He also believes the human body could not survive such acceleration. Elizondo says that many in the military and the government are so afraid of public ridicule that they're afraid to go on the record with their concerns. No one wants to have their career sidelined because of the stigma attached to UFOs. According to Robert Bigelow, a billionaire space entrepreneur who was involved with AATIP, other countries are much more open to the topic. He says, unlike the U.S., countries such as Russia, China, Belgium, France, England, and Chile do not have a juvenile taboo about the topic. If it is true that we have been visited by aliens, the natural question is, why? The famous science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke once said, "I'm sure the universe is full of intelligent life. It's just been too intelligent to come here."